This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I tripped the light fantastic.
And then I offer to help it up. And when the light fantastic is halfway up, I let go and it falls again. Me and the light fantastic do not get along at all.
Good morning, Night Vale.
It's me, Symphony. That's it.
That's it. It's me, Meg. That's also it.
It's me, Hal. It was it before I even started. Ooh. And this is Good Morning Night Vale, the show where three Night Vale performers listen to and recap episodes of Night Vale and meals that we enjoy. This is being recorded the September the 3rd of the year of our Lord 2020. So if you're wondering, while listening to it, how come they didn't talk about the fact that everybody's ears turned into popcorn? Well, hasn't happened yet as of this recording. We still have regular, fleshy old ears.
Yeah. We all have cauliflower ears.
We have cauliflower ears from all the boxing.
From my years as a wrestler. But with those ears, we all listened to the episode Registry of Middle School Crushes. And mm-hmm. The description of that is, a heist is planned, plus the answer to last week's quiz and news about the trial of the century.
Let's talk about it.
I guess we're going to talk about it. Middle school crushes. So yeah, so this is the start of the next season. Mm. We start off with a kind of a regular episode. It feels very,
yeah.
Here's your news, here's your, mm-hmm. Here's what's going on. Also, here's this story that's happening. And the story is interesting, and it uses the device of Cecil's show as a ruse. Cecil entraps the city council and uses his government-provided airwaves to collude to help his niece destroy government property.
Yeah.
It is good, though. I like it.
You think you're listening to Ocean's 6, but you're actually listening to Ocean's 2.
Yeah.
Very clever.
Ocean's 2.
It's Ocean's 2.
These are all the prequels to Ocean's 11, 12, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
13.
They didn't start with 11. There were just two of them, and then there were six. You decide which six. It's your fan fiction. I'm just talking about it.
Mm-hmm. And isn't that what this show's about? Anyway. Yeah. So I think that – I thought that it's there's this big heist that's happening, and which I really found it kind of satisfying that we never find out why she wants the Registry of Middle School Crushes. I mean, we all can just kind of paint that picture in our minds about why an 11-year-old girl might want to have information about who she may or may not have a crush on destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I mean, do we have any – we don't know too many middle schoolers, though. Like, we don't know any middle schoolers. Like,
personally?
No, I mean, in Night Vale.
Oh, yeah, we don't really know. But
or
yeah,
personally.
Like I do. Yeah.
Or I do know.
I'm related to some.
I teach some circus.
One of my cousin's kids, I think, just started middle school. Yeah. So my second cousin, or my first cousin once removed.
Yikes.
Yeah. How old is Megan Wallaby?
Megan Wallaby is, I believe, in the same age. And then Tamika Flynn is a little bit older.
Yeah.
Oh, my favorite charter.
And then Josh Creighton is also a middle schooler.
So we know a couple, but not really, like, not enough that a ton of names would come up. It almost doesn't matter who else we know. Like, we could assume or hypothesize what the reasons are. I'm curious for each. Do you each remember your first middle school crush? Do you remember all of them?
I'm a Libra, so I crush hard on a lot of people. But I remember a couple. One was named Nick, and I moved away right before we went into sixth grade, seventh grade. and then saw him again when I was in high school, late high school, when I was working at Six Flags Great America. Mm. And he and his school chums had come there, and he remembered me, and I was like, ew. No, thank you.
No, thank you.
How do you reject someone when you are the one wearing khaki shorts and suspenders? Like, wow. That was my uniform. Khaki shorts, suspenders, and a button-down. I'm sure I was someone's middle school crush. Probably not, actually. But I don't remember too many of them. I remember, like, the people that I liked back then, too, were just like, now that I look back, I'm like, yuck. Like, even in high school, I was like, what is wrong with you? What was wrong with you?
I like how Dane Terry describes it. He's like, there's some people who are into bears. There's some people who are into otters. I'm a raccoon. I love trash. I'm a little bit like Dane that way. I have an affinity for trash. Not like Joseph. Trash. My husband is not. He's always like, I feel weird about myself because of the other people that you have crushes on and you like, well, they're all trash.
You had to build up to Joseph. You didn't. Yeah. You couldn't. Like, had you met Joseph when you were, like, 18, you wouldn't have been ready for all that.
No.
And he probably would have not been for you.
No.
At that time.
Yeah. No, we found each other in the space and time where it made sense for us to know each other.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Oh, it was so hard. Middle school is so hard. Trying to figure out, like.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's just so, oh, I can't.
I mean, the game changes.
I don't think you could pay me to go back to middle school.
I would like to go back knowing what I know now.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you were a young, wise child.
I don't want to go back and, yeah. If I could do it again, or at least a little bit of what I know now. I don't have to know. Yeah. I mean, number one, I'd immediately hit the stock market.
Just buy that Apple stock. Buy that fruit.
Make a ton of money. Give me Apple. Give me Disney. Starbucks as soon as it goes public.
Honestly, I think the way your perspective is, at least with me, I feel like I was floating from one day to the next. Like, there was no, like, permanence in my brain. Like, I wasn't like, oh, I have ideas about, I don't know. I was very childish still. I was like, I was very much a child until I was like, I don't know, 16 or so. Mm-hmm. Life didn't really start getting serious for me. You know, I was just like, oh, everything's fine. Like, I just kind of didn't really realize what was going on in the world. I feel like there are a lot of kids these days are much more aware of, like, what's going on outside of their own personal sphere. Mm-hmm. But I, as a young child, especially like 11 to 13, I would say, was a giant dum-dum. Like, I had no idea. I was still like, loved dolls and like in this naive, like, fantastical world, and like my idea of like love and like whatever, I don't know, I was very confused. Plus, like, as a young kind of bi child, like, I didn't really, I'm like, all my friend, like, I was like, all my girlfriends are so great and so pretty, but I didn't really know what that meant to me,
right?
I was just, and like love and like whatever, I don't know, it was just like very what everything was on TV, you know, or in movies. I didn't really know what that meant. So me having a crush was just like, oh, you're nice to me. I like that. Are we friends?
Kindness.
Do you love me? Because I love you. Yeah. So I don't know. I was a giant dummy. So what do I know about love or anything like that? Now I know what love is. I want to know what love is.
Oh, and I want you to show me. Yeah, middle school love, tough. And like the shame. I had like so much shame about like who I was and whether I was lovable and all that shit that it was just like, yeah. Oof. I probably still would break into the city to destroy the log of middle school crushes. Me, a happy, successful, happily married 34-year-old woman who never will ever see or interact with those people ever again in real life, but would still break into a government building to destroy the knowledge that it never existed.
Yeah, you don't want that on record.
So, Janice, I feel you.
Yeah, I don't think I'm in touch with any of my high school crushes, so that, no. Or middle school, high school, I am. Am I?
With your high school crushes, really?
A little bit. Yeah. I went to a school where I was there for 11 years. There are a lot of people who were there all the way through. So.
Oh, right. Your friend school.
Yeah, they become friends. They don't remain crushes.
Okay.
But also, I feel like I wouldn't burn it because I was pretty obvious with it. Like, there was no secret or mystery.
Were there just hard eyes coming out of your eyeballs?
Hard eyes coming out of the eyeballs. The first crush I ever had in middle school was a girl named Megan Floyd, who I asked to the dance, our first dance. And she said, yeah, I was just the first one who asked. And then I did not. I think I danced with her like once. And then that was it. I didn't know. I just didn't know what came next. I didn't know what happened. I didn't know where things were supposed to go.
Did you just stand on the other side of the room then?
Yeah.
Oh.
Sure.
Oh.
But we danced once or twice. Once or twice.
You were probably so cute too, with your little blue eyes and dark hair.
Adorable.
Did you comb your hair back and wear a shirt?
A shiny shirt?
Did you have like a special shirt?
Like a button-down shirt that was probably short sleeve, or I rolled the sleeves up, would be my guess. And nice jeans.
Did you wear cologne? Did you put on like a little cologne?
I bet I did. I bet I did put on a little cologne. I bet I put on some of my dad's. I don't think I had my own at 12. Was I 12? It was 12.
That's the thing I miss is dances, because getting dressed up and like, I see the pictures from then. I remember one of my first like dance dresses was like an off the shoulder navy blue dress, and it was like actually pretty form-fitting, but I remember it kind of looked like in between. Now that I look at a picture of it, what was that?
Yes, I'm still recording.
Oh, it's a ghost. Oh my god, I got so scared. I didn't know what that sounded.
Oh, that's a ghost.
It's
Jennifer, while
crush.
I'm recording, will come through. The door opens heavy, the door closes heavy, she'll talk.
It's because she's your crush.
I love it.
She just wanted to make sure that she got represented in this episode.
She knows she can get away with whatever she wants.
Oh. But yeah, I miss high school. I miss dance crushes, like wearing cool dresses and going out shopping for those things. That was cute.
Yeah.
Get a little something at Delia's.
Yes. Delia's. The mall. Just going to the mall. Like, the idea of going to a mall now, like, frightens and terrifies. Like, I have no desire to ever do that ever again.
Yeah.
What, is the internet closed or something?
Right.
You know?
I can get anything on the internet.
And I don't need anything anymore. What do I need?
Yeah.
I've got everything in my house.
Yeah, all I need is all I got.
Can we talk about Janice, like, coming up with this whole idea basically herself?
Yeah.
Like, and yeah. Her devising her stealth wheelchair. I think that's the most adorable thing.
Yeah.
It's real cute.
That she's so smart and sneaky.
I just love how much Cecil is on board too. Cause he's like, he'll do anything for this kid. It's very obvious that like he will. So it's really cool that he's like just in on it and great. I love having, I have a nephew that's 2, and I have nephews that are 7 and 5, and they're great. And my sister is having a baby like right now. Like right now.
Yeah, is there an update? Because this is our second recording of the evening.
No update yet. Last thing we said was...
That means it's probably baby business happening, right?
Yeah. It could be a while. I don't know. She's like in labor at this moment in time. So
no middle school crushes for that child.
No, but she's producing a child that I will help do a heist. Because I seriously, my nephews, I would like whatever they want to do. I'm like, yeah, sure. As long as no one dies, we're fine. Like it's... They're great.
That's a pretty high bar. I mean, like that's murder. There's a lot you can do in between.
I would murder for my nephew for sure.
Okay,
but you don't want him to murder.
I'm not like no. Like I'm not trying to do it. I'm really not trying to do it. Obviously,
but you would.
Like if it came down to it, if it was like his life or someone else's, it would be someone else's. Sorry.
Not sorry.
I'm a murder you.
This got dark. But anyway, I would totally help him get protect him from the anguish of having his middle school crush revealed.
True.
Well, I appreciate that in you as a caretaker for a child, a familial child. And I think that is important. That relationship is important for a lot of children, if they have that opportunity to have a cool aunt or uncle or whatever you prefer to be called, like to help you through things that your parents might not, you might not want to involve your parents with. And having a aunt or uncle or whatever that are going to do things like that for you and help you through those trials and tribulations of getting older is so sweet. And it also brings a softness, I think, to Cecil that I don't think we get that often. Cause we get the schmoopiness with his love of Carlos, but his familial love is different, you know? And I like it.
Yeah.
I like to see it.
It's a loyalty.
I thought at a certain point in the episode before the reveal, or maybe even during, like as he was beginning to reveal it, I thought, I wonder if this is something that they're just doing, like as a game between the two of them. The fact that the brilliance of having him unwittingly unveil a plan, which he actually is doing on purpose to distract the city council, it's a very well-constructed heist just from a plot perspective. And I appreciated that a great deal because I got the joke of like, I don't know how they know that they've been there waiting. Whereas like, you've been talking about it on the radio the whole time, of course.
Yeah, that's so in Cecil's wheelhouse to do though, just because like he does not a lot of times realize that he's talking to everyone or like,
right.
Like,
sure. Everyone's listening.
So yeah. But yeah, totally. It's a cool plotting device. We get some other like new plot updates. This is the first episode of a new season. So we get like the trial starts to get set up with the Hiram McDaniels being on trial and like how trials work in Night Vale is revealed. Which is interesting. There's a high concept prose section with the traffic where the word presumably is played with at length.
Who wrote that? Is that Jeffrey? It feels like it could be Joseph.
I think Joseph wrote this episode.
Okay. Because it felt like Joseph, but then something in my instinct was like, maybe it's Jeffrey.
Well, they both write together. You know how they do. They
do, but you can pick it. We can pick out who's doing what a good amount of the time.
Certain elements.
They're playing a piano, and Jeffrey plays the black keys, and Joseph plays the white keys, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And no one's on the pedals.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I find it interesting that the Goldhead is defending themselves.
But that doesn't surprise me, though.
No, because only morons defend themselves.
That's right. A person who represents themselves in court has a fool for a client.
Symphony has noticed something in the background.
Sorry, I thought I heard something.
Can I say something? That
No.
You want to earmuff it? Wait, take out your headphones for a second.
No, you know what? No.
No, wait. No, it's not anything. I swear. I have to say this, but I don't want you to hear it.
Okay, I'm not even going to look at you in the video, though, because I – okay.
Yeah, don't look. Doesn't it look like over Symphony's shoulder where those two things are that there's like a ghost bride? Do you see it on the right-hand side of the screen?
Where the mirrors are? Oh, yeah.
Can I come back now?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep, you're good.
You're good.
Everything's good.
Okay.
You're fine.
I swear. I can't unsee it now.
I know. I've been looking for over an hour. No, there's nothing. There's nothing.
You're
there
freaking
honestly
me
is
out.
Nothing. There's honestly nothing. It's nothing. Don't ever listen to this episode.
I'm going to. I can't help but listen to my voice.
Can we get that part? Can we leave it in but bleep it, please? Okay.
Just on Symphony's.
Just my part phone. Where I say what I said. Just, yeah, that part. Just bleep me out. You can keep Meg's reaction to it. I want to build a mythos around the show, and I think this is how we do it. That and the food.
Yep. It's the food Dude. Horror podcast, Night Vale recap
fine.
Show.
You're fine. No, stop looking behind you. I swear you're fine.
You're freaking me out.
No, there's nothing to be – It's
like my body's getting hot. Like,
you wouldn't be able to do anything about it anyway.
Yeah,
so,
you're just stressed. You're fine. Don't even worry about it. You're good.
That's worse.
Surrender. You're fine.
You guys, this is really going to fuck me up for the rest of the episode.
No. It's similar to like when you have like a pile of clothes on a chair and you're like, oh, that looks like a monster. It's not. It's a pile of clothes on a chair.
Oh, are you talking about the mirror?
I don't even want to have a conversation about it.
Don't even. Don't.
Does that stop looking behind you? I swear it's fine.
I'm going to really cry. I'm really going to cry. I'm so scared.
No, don't. Symphony, I swear. That's why I told you to take your headphones out, because there's nothing to be gained from it. It's nothing.
No. Your house is fine and safe, and it's good. Yeah. You're totally
Can I
fine.
Just go check and lock my doors?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead. I can't help. I just saw it.
I can't unsee it now.
And it was like, of all the places to see, it would be in her apartment. Now she's checking everything. She's checking the door. She's checking the room. Everything's fine. It's completely safe. See? It's totally fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Okay.
You want me to send you one of my stuffed gorillas?
Yes.
One of the four?
Five. That's like a lot of gorillas. Yeah. No, I need it. I definitely need it. No, I'll be fine.
Yeah, everything, honestly, everything is fine. It's
okay.
It was something you didn't need
tell
to hear.
Tell me if this freaks you. If this makes it worse.
Go ahead.
This mirror, the gold one in the corner.
Yeah.
That is from my neighbor who died upstairs.
Oh.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's interesting.
Huh.
Does that make the mythos worse or better?
Worse. For
yeah,
real.
Way worse. Yeah. Way worse.
Okay. Shut up.
Wait. You gotta stop looking behind you. Now you're shifted to the side. So there's not everything's fine. That's your home. That is your home.
I'm fine. Nothing's happened to me in this home. Nothing's happening to me.
You're
it's
safe.
Really listen. Like it's
if you never hear from me again, people who listen to this show, if you never hear from me again, this is why. I got sucked into
nice
a mirror world. Don't break it.
It's a really nice mirror.
Yeah. It's good because when you look into it, you can remember, like you can see it and remember your neighbor. I assume you got along with the neighbor and you didn't just go, hey, my neighbor's dead, right? I want to have this mirror.
Well, no, I actually tried to save his life.
Oh, that's right. This is the one. Yeah. So you got the mirror. That's good.
Yeah.
You know what? In a
so
way.
So he's not blaming me. He's not blaming me for anything.
No. It's probably good luck that if there were a spirit world, I would argue, if I believed in it, I would say that his spirit is using that mirror to watch over you and make sure you're safe. And it allows them to look in and see if you're doing okay. That said, it's just a mirror, and it is not the thing I was – it's not really
no.
the thing.
It's not
that
the thing. It's no. It's a part of it.
It's not the thing. It's part of it, but it's not it.
But yeah. Also, life
could it
is
also
for the-
be my mannequin in the back? The
No, that side's no. fine.
That side's fine.
Life is for the living, y'all. Life is for the living. It's fine. Let's just enjoy it. Your
totally
house
fine.
Is lovely and gorgeous and safe and perfect. And
yeah, I swear I did not want to freak you out. That's why I wanted you to take the headphones out. Because it would be like noticing, like, did you notice that person's wearing bell bottoms in a Walmart? Like, you kind of want to say something, but you don't want to, you know, you don't want to make a big deal out of it. It's not a big deal. Stop looking over your shoulder. You're fine.
I'm always going to look that way.
Fair enough.
At least no one sent you Venom Box.
No one sent me Venom Box. Okay. That is freaky. Like, first of all, okay, getting any sort of venomous creature in the mail is not a great idea, I don't think.
No.
But you don't have a choice with this.
No.
It's just sent to you.
Yeah, you're signed up now forever. Have you done any box subscription services that are not venomous creatures?
Yeah, actually, Meg got me into Birchbox.
And that is makeup?
It's makeup and skin, hair, self-care type things.
That's good stuff.
That one, and then I'm trying Ipsy as well. I don't know. I think I like...
What is Ipsy?
It's same thing.
It's a bag instead of a box.
Well, we'll see which one of them sponsors us, and that'll be the one that we talk about.
Oh.
Yeah.
This episode is sponsored by insert here.
Yeah. Also, if you guys want, it's an option on the Patreon. You can buy a monthly subscription for a box service that comes from my house of weird Night Vale stuff.
Have people done that?
People have done that. People also probably are like maybe a little judgy with me right now because since the pando started, I have not really been sending a ton of those out because I'm afraid to go to the post office. But I think I'm going to go back.
Pando.
We'll start. Since the pando began, the box service has curtailed, but they will be back up and running again soon. thank you all for your support on Patreon. But if you want to get a Night Vale box, there's some fun stuff that goes in them.
Yeah, what are some things just to get people, to really whet people's appetites?
So merch, a lot of merchy stuff. Some early access to some items. I don't want to say any more things.
No.
Some signed merch, stuff that you can't buy that's merch of ours, like stuff that's been printed for specific shows that were printed by not us, like the venues print special limited edition posters, stuff like that. Backstage passes, stickies, books, stuff I find in my house that's weird.
So a bunch of wasp nests.
They had our scones. They were remember the scones that we made at Hal's house.
Yes.
I sent them to those people.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Has anyone written back? Or
yeah. Oh yeah. I hear from
about it. Did they like them? Or were they like they're back?
They I think they liked them. I was surprised that they ate them, given that it was a scone they received in the mail. I kind of sent it like as a joke. I was not anticipating
people to actually eat them.
I mean, I wrapped it in like plastic and foil.
Yeah, but like how long is it going to last and be like, scones are meant to be eaten like day of.
Yeah.
They probably get stale pretty fast.
Yeah.
But hey.
Especially with the amount of clove that we put in there.
Yeah.
So many.
Just kidding.
Add a lot of orange zest to give it some zip.
Does anyone notice how Cecil says supposed? Like supposed to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He says supposed.
Yeah. Supposed.
I mean, he also says orange juice.
He's a wacky one. But like I think probably that has to do with like orally hearing and like I don't know. Some maybe it's not conscious. Maybe it was just like that's. But I've never noticed him say. Maybe he doesn't say supposed to around me.
He also might have been trying to not pop the mic.
Yeah, that's actually probably it.
More likely,
yeah. Supposed is sort of supposed.
Yeah,
yeah. By the way, if you ever want to split your plosives, just put a finger in the very front of your mouth, and it will split them.
Pull your corners.
Your
corners.
Pop popcorn.
When we're doing it at live shows, we try to just pull your mouth out.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I think it's such an interesting experience for people to see us doing the show rather than just hearing it. Because the way that we have to, that you have to like move your mouth, move around the microphone to make sounds come out and for it to be like understood, is different than what you would do like just in a regular play.
Right.
Right. Like there's like a significant amount of realism in a play. Like you're like, oh, I'm in this scene with so-and-so. And yes, that happens also. But when you're on microphone, like directly, and you're trying to, like you can turn and some of the microphones are directional. So it's like, okay, I can't go too far this way. Otherwise you won't hear it the same. I think it's pretty fascinating. The next time we're allowed to do things in a live theater, maybe 2022, who knows? 2021, never, who knows? The world is wild.
Yeah.
Just kidding. It'll happen. I believe it. But the next time you get to see us doing it, actually even on the live streams that we do, look at us. Look at me plugging that.
Plug in. Sandstorm has already happened by the time, but...
By this day?
Yes. But... There will hopefully be one in October that maybe is announced already or not. Who knows?
Surprise.
Well, let's say anytime next time you watch any of us perform, you'll just notice the difference. I mean, all of us have different microphones, but you'll notice how we speak into the microphone or have to move or to make, at least for me, especially for my character, having a voice that's different than your own, you have to do certain things, physicalities that make the sounds you want your voice to make and to make it sound, I don't know how to else to explain it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I agree. It's like, you kind of have to shift to your face because it's not the way your face is a huge part of what your voice sounds like, all your resonators that are in your face. So to sound like someone other than you, you have to shift your face around, which is an interesting
shift
thing.
Shift your face, witch.
You do. And it's an interesting thing. The live streams is kind of like, because when we're on stage, you can see our faces for the most part. But if you're like in the back row of a 1,000-seat theater, you're not really seeing exactly like my how my cheek has to kind of move around to get that resonator to
To be Deb.
Yeah, but she has, there's a lot of contortion for Deb in the face. There's a lot. And that's also just character choice too, because like, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so you can really see it in the live streams in a way that you can't on the stage. It's a live streaming is a weird, weird world, my dudes. It is not the same as live theater. It is not the same as film. It is not, like, there's just, it's so many different, it's a new thing is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. The timing is bizarre.
It's a new thing where we say, hey, didn't see you there.
Hey, I'm sorry. I didn't see you there. It's a new thing. It's so weird to not have an audience. Like, that's
right. The timing is different.
I mean, my whole intros for the live shows, those are like a lot of call and response with the audience. I'm shaping the mood and the tone and the jokes around what the vibe in the room is, what the audience is giving back to me, how I want the audience to, like, I'm a warm-up comic, so I'm trying to make the audience do and be a thing and have a feeling that is conducive to the rest of our night. So in the absence of being able to have any response from that audience, it's like, doesn't work. It just kind of like, it cuts. Guys, wear your masks.
Please.
Please.
Please wear them.
And then you'll get to see us and hear us joking and smiling and our cool outfits and all the things.
I'm tired of shouting into a microphone at my computer and hoping that there's someone out there on the other side. It's like, listen, I'm not going to denigrate live streams. I think what we're doing is fun, and I think it's a great way to experience Night Vale and watch them. I like making them. We think that a lot of our fans really like watching them. But to me, it's not the same as seeing live theater. It's not an adequate replacement for it. It's like, instead of like, it's not like someone's like, oh, have a veggie burger instead of a beef burger. It's like, oh, eat this picture of a cheeseburger instead of eating a cheeseburger, you know? It's like, it doesn't have like the same, like, oh, this is similar. This is still a sandwich. This is still, the mushrooms have a meaty flavor. No, it's like this is, I'm just eating a piece of paper. I'm eating, but it's not food.
Yeah, it's definitely a different experience, like, especially as an actor, like, you're, the energy exchange that happens when you're on stage is just like unlike anything else. And when we're doing a live stream, it's just like, okay, I feel like it's more similar to recording in our own homes, you know, when we're recording for the show, for Welcome to Night Vale, the podcast.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like it's closer to that than anything. I feel alone. Even though I know I'm with people, I'm with you on the internet, you know, and I see Cecil or whatever, and everyone else in the group, but it's just not the same.
Agreed.
You know.
Agreed.
Anyway, who else isn't alone?
Who?
Sweet, sweet Janice. And we are also not alone when it comes to the weather. Up next, we hear from fans and friends of the podcast about their theories, comments, and questions. But first, a conversation about this episode's weather. This episode's weather is My Postcard by Toys and Tiny Instruments. What a strange name for a group.
Well, they make their music with toys.
On Toys and Tiny Instruments.
And Tiny Instruments.
Awesome.
Shut up. No wonder it sounded so like binky, bonky, binky, yeah. Bonky.
It was fun.
Yeah.
And it's a unique sound because of that.
Yeah. This is...
I wonder if Jimmy Kimmel ripped them off with the stuff that he does with the Roots where they play with classroom instruments.
It's a similar thing. I don't know if he ripped off Toys. They are now defunct, I believe. The last I heard from them was around 2014, 2015. This is actually... I know a member of this band, my friend Colin Summers. He is a vocalist and music maker in this band. He's a neo-futurist. That's how I know him. We were ensemble members together for several years. And he's a great musician. He wrote a lot of musical plays for us. He wrote a full-length musical that we did as well. And he's really brilliant and really good musician and really writes really fun stuff that's good. He also, before times, he toured a lot. Like, he was a musician on cruise ships in plays. Like, he did Million Dollar Quartet a lot. He used to play different, like he can do like an amazing Johnny Cash impression. It's like spot on.
Nice.
But yeah, he's cool. He actually was the weather with his own band, or his own, I think his one man band, which is called Scrawny Man, which was the episode 141 he was the weather in. So
So we'll hear from him again.
I wouldn't know. I haven't heard that episode.
But yeah, Toys and Tiny Instruments, they're a 7-piece experimental folk band out of Brooklyn, now defunct.
Brooklyn, you create some weird music.
We heart you, Brooklyn. We heart you.
But I do like Tiny Instruments and Toys. You know what? That actually reminds me. Okay, so we had a couple of weathers that kind of play on tiny instruments and kind of toy things.
Yeah, I mean, Eliza Rickman plays the toy piano.
Eliza Rickman, sure, famously.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Famously, yes, Eliza Rickman. But then also Skip Shirey.
Skip Shirey, yeah. Mm-hmm. He has, like, plays all sorts of weird stuff and plays like marbles in glass bowls. And
right? Wild. But fantastic.
Yeah.
So, you know, the depth of your creativity is the only thing that is keeping you from having a strange little band.
PSA.
I think I remember, speaking of Eliza and Colin, who's in our friend Cairo, was like, do Eliza and Colin know each other? Can we make them date? I think that, like, Cairo might have tried to set them up at my wedding. Like,
oh, sorry. Eliza and I were too busy drinking copious amounts of bourbon. Of the Meg. It was bourbon in a cup. That was Meg's cocktail.
Love it.
It's my signature. My signature cocktail. It still is.
It was good. And then I danced with a cat in a window after that. I did. It's great. It's on video somewhere. And I was also very hungry after that, even though we had eaten. But I'm also very hungry right now. Hmm. And I could use something hot, piping hot, cheesy, and delicious. Could be nothing other than the Fanzone Calzone.
Fanzone.
Calzone.
Stay right there. Good Morning Night Vale will return after a brief break.
First up, we have Daniel. Daniel writes, longtime listener, first time Calzoner. Yeah.
Hey.
I've always thought the weather communicated to listeners the actual weather. So when the Mountain Goats song finished, the listeners knew it was going to be mostly cloudy with 20-mile-per-hour winds out of the west. There was an episode within the last year that seemed to vaguely support this, but of course, I didn't make a note of which one. But I'm really writing to ask these questions. What would the show be like if only Joseph wrote it? And obviously, follow-up, what would it be like if only Jeffrey wrote it? Thanks for your time and keep up the good work, Daniel. Thanks, Daniel. That's interesting that you think that the weather is actually communicating the weather. Huh.
Right.
I mean, that could give you a feeling. I love when you associate music and or the feeling of music. Feeling a piece of music gives you with, you know, rainy days, I want to listen to, like, Ella Fitzgerald and, like, more sad, like, Lana Del Rey. Like, music that you should be in a bathtub for, you know, type thing. but the thing about what would the show be like if only Joseph wrote it and if only Jeffrey wrote it, I think it would be a very different thing. I think that they play off each other so well. First of all, I don't know if it would be, if Jeffrey wrote it, if it would be creepy, horror-y, because Jeffrey's not a horror man. But he writes horror, so I don't know. What do you guys think? My answer is I don't know.
Yeah, I think that we have learned a bit about their writing styles and who does what, but it really does come together as one voice. So I think they're inextricable from each other for this project specifically. I think in other projects, like when you listen to Wires, or you listen to Alice, you can totally hear Night Vale-y things, but it's definitely of a different voice and of a different thing. I think that the voice of Night Vale is a unified thing. So I don't think Night Vale's Night Vale without either one of them. I think they're very different worlds. So it's, yeah, I what would it be like? I don't know. I don't think it would be a thing. So,
right?
Yeah, I think they're tonally a lot closer. I feel like the classic example of a writing partnership is Lennon-McCartney, where McCartney was saccharine and Lennon was cerebral. And so when they came together, when they were apart, they both did really great work, but you can definitely see where each reined the other in and encouraged them to move in a different direction that would be their sort of cardinal north. But I think with Jeffrey and Joseph that they are similar enough. They do come together in that one voice, and you can pick out. We can probably maybe a little better pick out just because we know them so well. Can pick out like, all right, this sounds like a Jeffrey, this sounds like a Joseph, but really it all sounds like both of them, and they both bring a lot to the table, and that's the reason why it works so well. Is it's not readily apparent, well, this feels like majorly Joseph or this feels like majorly Jeffrey, whether that's a positive or a negative to somebody who's listening. It always feels like both of them all the time. That's why I always ask. I don't go, I don't always go like, I know who this is.
Unless it's about sports.
And yeah, if it's sports, you know it's Jeffrey.
If it's religion, it's Joseph.
If it's religion, it's Joseph. But that's more, but again, that's knowing the people more than anything else. So it's, I can't imagine only one of them writing it. It's hard to, it's really, really hard to imagine it because it's the two of them, like you said, Meg.
True story. It's a great question, though. I appreciate you asking it. Last episode, we talked about like how to get your fan zone featured on the show. A great way to get your fan zone featured on the show is to ask us a question.
Yes.
We get a lot of emails from a lot of people, and they're great, and I really appreciate getting them. But sometimes they're just like a long version of someone's opinion about a thing, and that can be a little bit difficult to chat about. Mm-hmm. So ask us a question. And provoke a conversation among your friends. We're your friends. We just can't hear you. So let us hear you by writing us a question. All right. This comes from Michaela. Michaela writes, "Hi, good morning, Night Vale crew. My name is Michaela, and I first wanted to express how much Night Vale means to me, along with headcanons and a simple suggestion. I started listening to Night Vale around Christmas 2017 when I was heading to my conservative extended family for the first time, after realizing and coming out to my immediate family as queer. When I heard Cecil say, and I fell in love instantly in the car, I felt such a sense of relief and comfort going into a series of semi-stressful family vacations. I still listen to Welcome to Night Vale and Good Morning Night Vale on long car rides, and listening to the banter and the stories of you three, the you three share is wonderful. When creating D&D characters, I still ask myself, would they hypothetically eat pie in the shower? And if yes, why and how do I build my character's personality and backstory? Now, here are some headcanons. And I did edit this down, Michaela, because there were a few, but I kind of zoned in on the ones that made sense for this episode. So headcanons. In the Registry of Middle School Crushes, I think Janice either doesn't have a crush and is aromantic and or asexual, has had a crush on Tamika Flynn, and heard the faceless old woman make an offhand comment about her joining the city council. Thank you for reading my email and for making the show. I don't think I can fully communicate my gratitude for you guys and what you do, but I hope this helps. Much love to you all. Michaela." Thanks, Michaela.
Aw, thanks, Michaela.
Thank you, Michaela.
And your suggestion I did cut out as well, but that was about us making a cookbook, and we'll do it one day, I promise. But yeah, interesting headcanons for why Janice is hiding it. Yeah, there's so many reasons why.
I mean, Tomoka is everyone's favorite charter.
Yeah.
So
certainly mine.
So I get it. Like, yeah, Janice could have a crush on Tamika, but I think it'd be more like the way you have a crush on someone who's like, not the popular kid, but like the person who's like, you're like, oh, wow, I look up to, because you look up to them. It's not exactly a crush. I think it's just like an admiration. It'd be more of an admiration.
Mm.
Although, who knows? Janice could be a little cutie, but, you know, Tamika's too focused on other things, you know.
There you go.
Like saving the town.
She's a very busy charter.
Very busy.
I have our last piece of calzone, our last bite of calzone of this episode. Amber writes, "Hola. I wanted to write in to mention how important Janice is to me. I have cerebral palsy, and while I'm not a wheelchair user, I have a noticeable limp and sometimes have to use other mobility devices. The Sandstorm was when I became a diehard fan of Night Vale. A friend had been bothering me all day to listen to it since it's one of her favorites. Unknown to her, I had a shitty day. I'd been stopped on several occasions that day by the local Christian religious groups on campus that day, hoping to get brownie points with God for praying for my healing. I attended college in the Southern Bible Belt.
Ugh.
I tried to politely refuse the last encounter, but they wouldn't leave me alone. I let them do whatever they needed to do without getting visibly upset. I feel like I can't get upset because they're trying to be nice. Ugh. And if I tell them I don't need healing, they say I'm wrong. So when I heard Kevin say those things about Janice and the Sandstorm, I felt like I was allowed to get angry. And when I heard Steve and Cecil's response, it made me break down into a good cry, because without realizing it, I'd wanted to hear someone have that response. Later, in the Registry of Middle School Crushes, I was allowed to get angry over another common issue, people being helpful to the point where everything is done for me, and then being pleasantly surprised when that was turned on its head. I listened to that one on a lunch break at work, and a coworker asked me if I was okay afterwards because he was alarmed at how quickly I went from sad to angry to happy. Since then, I've decided it's best not to listen in public, but it's definitely my favorite podcast. Janice has even inspired me to write some Janice-centered fanfic. And even though Janice doesn't appear all that often, it makes me excited to have a cool disabled character in something I like, especially a disabled girl. She's probably the first disabled girl character I became aware of. Loving the show. When I die, I want to be fed to a colony of those flesh-eating beetles they use to clean skeletal specimens in natural history museums. It'll be quick, environmentally friendly, and sustaining for other life.
Yes!
Best wishes, Amber. Amber, you are a queen.
Oh, my God.
And that is a great way to go. But this is a great – we're talking about disposing of remains. You don't want to die by having a bunch of beetles eat you. Very important.
I believe there was a prompt at some time from me in the credits asking – maybe fans to write in and tell us how they wanted to their remains to be disposed of. We also had that. We've had this conversation.
Yeah, I'm sure we have. I feel like it was very on in our episodes that I talked about wanting to be shot into the sun or turned into a tree.
Sure.
Yeah. So I squealed, but that was in kind of delight because that is the most interesting thing I've heard about how you want your remains. You know, and it made me think of, have you ever seen Bones, the show Bones with Emily Deschanel?
I watched one episode one time.
Okay. There, a couple of times they have that happen. These flesh-eating beetles like clean the bones so that they can look at like the pitting and like whatever is on there to make sure to see what, you know, cause them to die or like whatever. So, or if they had a disease that helped them identify the person or whatever. I find that fascinating. It's creepy. I like the idea of like seeing them run over the bones and like eat or the body, the whatever and eat it is freaky.
Yeah.
But I love it. I love that idea. Also, I love this whole story, it made me sad, it made me angry, but it was like wonderful as well. The way people are very ableist in our society sucks. And not asking people who are differently abled than them what they possibly want and just deciding for them is terrible. So I'm glad you feel like you have representation in this show. And I think Janice is a wonderful character. And I'm so glad we've gotten to see so much from her as well.
Yeah, that's a, Amber, that's a lot of grace too when people...
for sure.
When Bible-y people are stopping you like just on your like walk through campus and like forcing all that stuff on you and you're actually being polite to them. That's a lot of grace and it's... Yeah, it's the ableist people putting a lot of crap on you is probably a lot to carry. So I'm sorry that you have to carry that, but I am inspired by your grace in that moment to not just do what I would do, which would be to say something really not polite back to them. So.
Yeah, yeah, really. Like same. The extent to which you have to deal with everybody else's either discomfort or insecurity or ignorance is admirable. And I hope that as time moves forward and as society moves forward, you have to deal with that less and less. But until then, until such a time, we're here for you. So thank you, Amber. Thank you for listening. Thank you to everybody who continues to write in and be a part of the Fan Zone, Cal Zone. We've given you all the tips and tricks. We've given you the Game Shark cheat codes over the last 2 weeks of how to get your emails and voice messages and pictures of paintings into the show. So take heed of our words. Thank you all for listening. If you want to become a supporter, we talked about those boxes of stuff that you can get sent to you. That only happens if you become a patron of our show, which you can do at patreon.com/goodmorningnightvale. In 2 weeks, you will hear the episode Well of Night. But until then, good morning, Night Vale. Good morning.
Good Morning, Night Vale is a Night Vale Presents production. It is hosted by Symphony Sanders, Hal Lublin, and Meg Bashwinner. It is edited by Grant Stewart and mixed by Vincent Cascione. It is produced by Meg Bashwinner. Theme music by Disparition. Special thanks to our fans who submitted their thoughts this week. Leave us a voicemail at 929-277-2050 or email us at info@goodmorningnightvale.com to share your theories and ask questions or to share any semblance of hope for the possibility of a future. This show is powered by our patrons like James Hickey, Jennifer Coons, Sarah Sherman, Howard Owen Lars II, Shelfer, and Hannah Jones. If you are interested in supporting this show in exchange for lots of fun, exclusive, insider, hyper-cool kid content, check us out at patreon.com/goodmorningnightvale. Your generosity means more to us than science does to Carlos. For more info on this show, go to goodmorningnightvale.com and follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at Night Vale Chat. Special thanks to Joella Knapp, Jeffrey Craner, and Joseph Fink. Today's adverb is justly. Constance Baker Motley was the first Black woman to be appointed to the federal judiciary in 1966, just 54 years ago. Keanu Reeves is 58 years old. Black women have been allowed a seat at the federal judiciary level table for less than one whole Keanu. Think about how much more justly our world would function if they had been given a chance for just even a few more Keanus.
From the creators of Welcome to Night Vale, Alice Isn't Dead, and Within the Wires comes a new Audible original. Unlicensed. In the outskirts of Los Angeles, where the cul-de-sacs and strip malls sprawl into the desert, two unlicensed private investigators scrape by on whatever small cases come their way. But when a teenage girl pleads for them to take the strangest case of their career, this unlikely pair, with no resources and no backup, will follow a trail of seemingly unconnected cases, which will lead them to a ransom, a murder, a mysterious wellness center, and a conspiracy that might go all the way to the governor.
It's important to catch small fires early. They don't stay small for long.
Unlicensed. Available now at audible.com/unlicensed.